that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again, roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. That old wheel has rolled around again. Here we are Saturday morning, and we welcome you here to the Radio Ranch. Good morning, Jason. Well, let me make sure I get the button pushed there. Are you there, Jason?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, good morning. And didn't know if John got on yet.
Yep.
Yay. Good morning, good morning, John. And we say good morning to you out there, the remnant, and even those that are in getting the remnants of Hurricane Harvey. Got some texts we'll read this morning with that, but we'll sure open up with prayer first. And John, would you do that for us?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you've set aside for us to just get together and look at the things that are going on in the world and how they affect our lives and how they affect your word, your teachings in the Bible, your prophecies, your warnings to your people. Father, we thank you for the promise that in the last days, knowledge would increase. And Lord, we see that. We know that your word said that these things were to be hidden and would not be revealed until the last days. And we're starting to see those things being revealed. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you've heard our prayers to remove the scales from our eyes and unstop our ears. And we thank you that you've heard the prayers of your people who say, here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? We thank you that there are those that believe 2 Chronicles 7:14, that when your people who are called by your name humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. this land, the true JERUSALEM, the most blessed land in the history of the world, the land of milk and honey. Father, our desire is to restore this land with you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, over it. So, Lord, we ask for grace and mercy. We ask that you grant us wisdom and understanding as to what it is that you would have us to do to bring that about. Father, remember grace and mercy in your wrath for those that are yours, and find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. We do lift up our brethren there in Texas and Louisiana that are getting hammered by this storm. And Father, it's interesting how 1 minute there's nothing going on, and in the blink of an eye, there's a hurricane bearing down on this country. Father, we know that it's a sign. It's the birth pang. It's the things that you warned us about. But we also know that you're a compassionate and loving God. And you're not slow as the world counts slowness, but you're patient, not wanting any of yours to perish, but all to come to repentance. Father, I pray that this hurricane that's hitting Texas and Louisiana, Father, that it would be a wake-up call for your people, that they would see that destruction is coming. So, Father, we cry out as a remnant that you would just lead us, Lord. Show us what it is that you would have us to do. Unite us, Lord, as one, that we would not tear each other down, Lord, but that we would raise each other up. Father, bring us to our knees to not only pray for ourselves and our families, but for all of our brethren, all of the remnant, all across this country and in the world. Unite us as one force, Lord, with the battle cry, no king but King Jesus. We praise you, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Well, folks, we got the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in. Got this, got an email through the website just about a half hour ago. It says, Saturday morning coffee will be on in about 30 minutes. And this is from our sister Irene in Texas. It says, I prayed we'll still have power so I can tune in. She's up in Bastrop. It says, local Austin news, Harvey has come in as a Category 4. Comparing it to Carla back in the 60s. And said they're getting reports out of Rockport of buildings destroyed. And there's some people still hunkered down in a hotel that's supposed to be designed to withstand this. And they don't know if it's going to hold. Said, of course, Texas under a massive flood advisory and tornado watch. And thought it was interesting. She says, you know, sometimes I don't know how to pray when it comes to the weather. We rebuke a storm here. Are we dumping it on somebody else? I prayed this morning, she said, that the storm rains on who needs rain and gently goes away. And thought that was kind of interesting. But we have prayed for protection for all the people that are his. And it's not just, it came on shore, now it's just going to wind down. They're talking about it, looking at news reports, they're talking about it being a deadly inland event, is what FEMA is putting out. And they're talking about up to 40 inches of rain through Wednesday for this area, down there on the coast, Houston, the Corpus Christi, and on into Texas. 40 inches of rain.
That's a lot of rain. A
lot of rain. I mean, 4 inches for here is a flood. So 40 is just almost unimaginable.
Yeah, very few places could weather 40 inches of rain without catastrophic consequences.
So, Remnant, we do urge you to pray, to keep God's people in your prayers down there in the midst of this event. I think it's interesting. Our Bible reading plan today is Hosea 8 through 14, and Hosea 8 is subtitled Israel Reaps the Whirlwind. How you like that? I didn't write it. That's just what it says. And verse 7 says, "For they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind." And that's not pointing a finger at Texas. That's pointing a finger at all of this country. God's word is true, and the times, they are changing. So,
well, you know, in the Bible, when it talks about separating the wheat from the chaff, too, one of the ways they used to do that was that they would create a force of wind, and then they would throw the wheat up in the air, or the husks, and the wheat would fall to the ground, and the chaff would be blown away. Why wouldn't the Lord use that as a means of culling? So,
amen.
No shortage of things to pray for and against, that's for sure.
And Remnant,
it's one of those things. God's always used storms. God, there's, you know, you look at the scriptures. There's so many scriptures that are on storms. Exodus 9:24. So there was hail and a fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very severe, such as had not been seen in the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And if you look at these storms, I think storms really was God speaking to people. You know, he was the shelter in some situations, he was the storm in some situations. So, you know, anytime you see a storm like this, I think it's one of those things that is, okay, is God saying, you know, draw closer to me, or is he punishing you for what you've done? It can be a catch-22. It can go both ways. That's why it's so important to be right with the Lord.
Yes.
You know, we've had storms that have come through, and we've seen it where, you know, one person's house is completely destroyed in a mobile home court, where the next house is completely untouched, and that's
Amen.
You know, that's the way of, you know, God working and using a storm to maybe punish somebody if they're disobedient, punish somebody if they're a wicked person, targeting that person. That's why it's important to, you know, pray for, you know, keep prayed up. Pray that that storm hits where it's supposed to hit. Pray that it doesn't hit not one of God's anointed. You know, I mean, we have the ability to change a storm based on our prayers, based on our faith, by asking our Heavenly Father to do that. You know, and it's not the time to be praying when that storm is outside your door and you're looking outside the window and it's raining and it's hailing and the winds are blowing and the trees are falling down. Yeah, that is a time to pray, but that's not the time to start praying.
Amen.
You need to be start praying, you know, way ahead of that.
Amen.
And
absolutely.
It's interesting to me as you look at what these storms, these storms represent. It's a lot of times, you know, a lot of times Christ, our Heavenly Father, He is the storm. He is the storm that's coming in and pounding away. And it's you see things coming like that, and you've got to stop and recognize, okay, hey, am I getting punished? When a storm comes into my life, am I being punished for something I've done? A lot of people that are too self-righteous to do that, when they have things happen in their life, they won't do that. They say, oh, this is an attack of the enemy. This is an attack of the enemy. And sometimes it may be. Sometimes it may be, but other times it is judgment that you brought upon yourself. And, you know, it takes humility to stop and think, you know, okay, what have I done to bring this into my life? Or have I, in fact, done something to bring this into my life?
Amen. And if you find that out, you can always repent. You know, that, and John, I think that's why that's so important that that we do that, that we have that, you know, we ask God to forgive us of our sins, known and unknown, so that that can change. So that if that is coming, like you said, Jason, for a judgment that's coming, well, then it can be changed, whether it's a physical storm or a storm in our life.
Jeremiah 23:19 says, "Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest. It will swirl down on the head of the wicked." You know, I mean, there's a perfect example of, you know, the Lord using a storm to come down upon the wicked ones. So, you know, when a storm's coming, okay, you know, maybe God's using that. Maybe, you know, we pray for wicked ones to be removed. But then when, you know, we see somebody getting taken out by a storm, do we ever stop and think, okay, hey, maybe this was a wicked one. Maybe God's using this storm to take them out.
Yeah, and that's why I think Irene's email this morning is so significant, really. It's sometimes we don't know how to pray. And at that point, I think you pray for the Lord's will to be done. You know, I don't think we pray against the storm and for the storm to dissipate and all that, because just like you said, the Lord uses the storm to cleanse the land and
exactly.
to remove the wicked. Yeah. And what better miracle, what better testimony to wake somebody up than to see a house two doors down with nothing but a foundation and your house, not even a shingle tore off.
Saw an interview, got a text that said, saw an interview with the mayor of Rockport, and that's right there, just a real small town, right on the coast, just got hit full force. And they evacuated the town, but some could not. And he said he and a few responders are starting to help those in need. He's a volunteer, it's not a paid position, and the fire department is a volunteer. And he said, and this is what they quoted on the news report, he said, "We will hunker down and pray to the Lord for deliverance." And we're seeing more things that are making their way, that are making their way out to the people, that the people are seeing that. And I think that the things like that themselves, you know, are encouraging. They are. And absolutely, I think that these storms, Jason, I think you hit the nail right on the head. That they can be punishment. They God can sure use them to wake His people up, and to have them be like this mayor, and turn, you know, return to the God of their fathers. And
yeah, what's interesting is this storm is called Harvey. And if you look it up, it's an Old English or Old French origin, and the meaning of Harvey is battle-worthy. So you look at that, and then you look at really where it hit, Corpus Christi, and I think the Holy Spirit's revealed something there that I hope to share tomorrow. So,
well, I think that Job 1:19 says a pretty good job, too. It says, "And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died, and I alone escaped to tell you." I mean, you know, there's a perfect example of this. God using a storm to wipe out some and to save some, you know, as an example.
Right.
You know, it's...
Yeah, we see it all the time.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's why it's important is you know, we pray. You know, sometimes we, like you said, we don't know, but I think it's important to pray to ask the Lord, you know, how do I pray about this? How am I supposed to be praying in this situation?
Yes, and that is drawn.
You know, one thing that is that, you know, you're supposed to be praying for your family and praying for deliverance for you and yourself and those that are yours. And, I mean, I know we can pray that way, and I know we can pray for the wicked to be destroyed in the storm, too. So, you know, I think that's a good way to pray.
Yeah. Need to plead the blood of Jesus. That's the only protection we have over ourselves, our families, and all that God's blessed us with. And, you know, the anointing oil, going to the four corners of your property and anointing that and dedicating it to the Lord, rebuking the enemy, canceling satanic assignments, removing legal ground. All of these things are keys that the Lord's given us to thwart the enemy.
Amen. Amen. And when we're doing those things, like you said, Jason, when we're praying for our family, when we're praying for deliverance, when we're anointing the corners of our property, of our homes, when we're doing those things, we're drawing closer to God. We are doing things that are pleasing to Him. And when we can set that up in our lives, that when we do our best to do things that are pleasing to God, as opposed to pleasing to us.
Well, you look at this week. What was the most significant thing that happened this week, really, in my opinion? It was the eclipse.
It's pretty significant.
And, think about this. First time in 99 years that a total eclipse was land-based. And guess what land it was based over?
Only.
J-E-R-U-S-A-L-A-M. Exactly.
Only.
And the only ones that experienced the darkness of that eclipse was the United States. And it was positioned in a way that even Hawaii and Alaska experienced the eclipse. So all 50 states of this J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M experienced it. And you tell me another event in the history of man where as many people as were throughout this country were looking up. You tell me an event. I don't think there is another event where as many people all across this country, evil and good, were looking up.
That's right.
Then it started in Oregon. It started in Oregon, which is the 33rd state. Okay, well, we know 33 is significant. Christ was 33 when he died. 333 is, for some reason, that number is significant to me because I seem to wake up always at 333 and I'm told to pray, or at 3:33 in the afternoon, all of a sudden I'm looking at a clock and I know that I'm supposed to pray. But we know that 33 is a godly number. Then it goes through, they said seven Salems, Salems in different states, which is Jerusalem, J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M, and then it ended in the 33rd parallel. So, I mean, there's a lot of biblical significance, and that's just a couple of the things. So that was, I think, the warning to watch. But if you look in, you know, what the article that you put in the newsletter was about the star or the signs in the heavens, and when you put all that together and what's anticipated to take place on September 23rd, that's, I think, when we're really going to see a sign. I mean, I'm not prophesying or anything, but I'm just saying it appears that everything's lining up to that conclusion.
Yes, it is. And that star alignment is a retelling of the birth of Christ. So, yeah, yep. You start putting these things together. You've had more people, like you said, John, looking up than anyone can remember. You know, there's another event coming where everybody's going to be looking up as well. And that's going to be the last time. Hey, guys, let's take a caller. Let me get the buttons pushed here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Wranglers. This is Steve from Michigan. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
Okay, because my volume's kind of, I don't know, you're coming in kind of low, hard to hear on my phone. I would like to add a few things on to what came to me yesterday. Interesting about Corpus Christi is in Latin, it means body of Christ.
Exactly.
And the way John's messages have been leading up, and we led up to Branson sanctification. And then there's, he's calling his bride to order. So it's interesting what John
Absolutely.
Brought up about right after, was it 4 or 5 days right after this eclipse? he brings about this hurricane, whirlwind.
Out of nowhere.
To one, to the body.
Yes.
Amen. That's what I'm trying to tie in tomorrow, Lord willing. Holy Spirit's revealed a few things to me, and so, yeah, be watching tomorrow.
Well, I'll have to go because I can't even hardly hear. It must be the cell connection.
All right, Steve. Well, Steve, thanks for your call, brother.
Thanks, Steve.
Have a blessed day.
Mm-hmm.
And the number, 307-745-5913.
Live. Can you turn it up a little bit going out?
Well, yeah, I can. The levels look like they were pretty good, and they look like they're in the from the yellow to the red.
Okay. So, well, then don't over-modulate.
Yeah, I don't want to over-modulate.
Anyways,
but,
the other thing I think people miss, or they may have missed, is the fact that there's another eclipse coming in 7 years from the opposite direction that's going to go right across the same JER USA LEM, and where it crosses is in a little town in Illinois that's known as Little Egypt. Now, I'm pretty sure that that's not a coincidence.
No. No. No, God is not a God of coincidences. God is a God of order. And because he is, we're able to, with the knowledge that he's given his people, we're able to track those things and see that because God is a God of order, you know, with computers and models, we can track and see that these things are happening. Now being able to you know, put that out and let everybody know that, oh, here's an eclipse and this hurricane's coming and this is happening in the stars and all, you know, just being able to let people know that, but people being able to see that for what it is, you know, to see those signs for the signs that they are, I don't want to say last ditch, but I think it's some almost final efforts, final warnings from God to, you know, to look up, and here in another month, look up again, see the stars telling this Revelation 12:1 again, the woman clothed in the sun and with the 12 stars at her head, at the moon in her feet, and the king planet travailing, giving that passing out and giving birth, and it's a retelling of Christ. You know, when Christ walked on this earth, he performed many attesting miracles, many signs, and there were many that saw those things and believed them, and it changed their lives, and they started following the way, which is what Christianity was called. And there were some that saw those signs and did not believe. And I think that, unfortunately, we're going to see that again today. These signs are going to bring some closer to God and closer to their walk with Christ. And some, unfortunately, are just going to say, oh, isn't that neat? And stay in Babylon.
Yeah. Well, looking back at this Charlottesville fiasco that happened here, a couple weeks ago now? It's hard to even, time goes so fast anymore. But I was reading several eyewitness accounts of what happened there, people who lived there. One of the accounts was somebody who was sent there for a job to work for 3 or 4 weeks, and was on per diem, so had to eat out, and they ate at the same restaurant pretty much for the whole 3 or 4 weeks before this incident. But what you don't hear, and it's significant because it's very similar to what happened right here in Fort Collins, Colorado, there was a vote on whether or not to remove the statues, the Confederate statues, in Charlottesville. Well, it went to the people, and the people, overwhelmingly, 80% to 20%, voted to leave the statues up. Well, guess what? The city council decided that it was in the best interest of the city to take them down, which basically started the protest.
Yes.
But I can remember the exact same thing happening when this church fought against Amendment 2 in Colorado, which was the special rights for queers, where you couldn't discriminate against them in renting or in employment. And people overwhelmingly voted that amendment down, and the city council saw fit to overrule it and say, well, this is best for our city. But the good news is there was people out there that rallied and got petitions, and I can't remember how many petitions they had to have, but it was in the 20, 30, 40, 50,000, and they only had like a couple of days to do it, and they did it, which overturned the city council's ruling. So it never did come to fruition. Of course, now with federal law, it's kind of a moot point, but I think the similarities there are pretty significant. But one of the other things that you won't hear about, at least anybody I've talked to, nobody knows about, was that these people, this person was in this these restaurants, you know, all during the weeks before, and there was both mixed, you know, there was black people and white people, and they may be eating together, and they may be talking together, and you could hear them. They were, you know, discussing the vote and how they voted and why they voted that way and this and that. But there was no threat.
Yeah, they were just talking about it.
They were civilized.
Yeah, having a discussion.
Yeah, they were civilized, right? And even up until 11 o'clock on Saturday, the same people were in the same restaurants discussing the issues, you know, and then all of a sudden, a bunch of buses pulled up. At least six that they could see from behind the buildings. Well, from those buses emerged, I mean, ran off the buses, were people, and every one of them had either a KKK t-shirt or Black Lives Matter t-shirt, but they were on the same bus. So you tell me that it wasn't bought and paid for, shipped down there to cause the disturbance in the first place. And then they got off and they had, what I read, they had like 20-ounce pop bottles, the plastic pop bottles filled with concrete, and they were throwing them like grenades just up in the air. And if that thing hits you in the head, it'll probably kill you. One of the eyewitnesses said that a man had blocked it with his arm so it didn't hit a child and broke his arm. But then they had balloons and condoms full of decaying manure, the most wretched, nasty-smelling stuff you can imagine, and they actually broke into this restaurant and were just throwing these concrete bombs and throwing these, you know, this nasty crap to where the people tried to flee out the back of the building into the alleys. And I mean, you can kind of piece together the rest. And from what I heard, also the guy driving the Challenger, he had pulled down that street, and I think they kind of mobbed him, and he hit a car in front, and then he just floored it and backed up out of there. And I'm pretty sure that's when he hit most of the people, was when he was backing out of there. But I mean, a white boy in a mob, you ain't going to survive very long. And he backed up from what I hear, for like several blocks just to try to get away. So, you know, those are just things that you won't hear in the mainstream media.
Yeah, one thing I heard immediately after that was, well, you see how bad concealed carry is, so we need to do away with concealed carry here in this state. And there were no shots fired. There were no, there was no issue with firearms whatsoever. But it's any excuse, and that's put out kind of like a teaser. You know, is how that was put out is. If they put that out, and then if they can get some people on the bandwagon, and we need to do away with that. Any excuse today that can be used for more gun control is used, and it's coming out. The mainstream media has just swallowed the. The story that was put together, like you said, John, you don't see that about the protesters being bussed in, but you want to dig a little deeper, if you want to do a little research.
Well, that's where the collusion is.
It is. That's right.
The collusions between the media, and it was all the protocols, right? They had to get control of the school system. They had to get control of the media. They had to get control of the churches. And, you know, in the last 10 years, they've got control of the churches. And there's so many lukewarm churches that are acceptant and tolerant of sin under the guise of grace. But God's saying no more. No more will he tolerate lukewarm. No more will he tolerate the churches of Laodicea. Choose ye this day who shall serve. The Lord be the Lord. Be God, then serve him.
Yep.
But if Baal be God, then serve him.
Amen.
And the lines are being drawn.
Amen. They
praise,
are.
Praise the Lord. So.
Well, phone lines are still open. We're about halfway through the program this morning on this 26th day of August. And if you would like to give a call in, 307-745-5913. And yeah, it ever-changing. You know, the you think that, well, you know, things are kind of calming down and not having any issues, but just like this hurricane, it did almost come out of nowhere. It just formed, what, just within the last few days?
Yeah, you didn't hear anything about it till what, Tuesday or Wednesday?
Right. Well, there are cruise ships. I think I read there are three cruise ships that are trying to get back into Galveston that have just, you know, had to turn the other way and head back out to out in the Gulf to ride this out. You know, they plan. I mean, they have plans on those cruise ships, I guess, if they, you know, the companies, if they do have weather, bad weather. But you know, they were attempting to come into Galveston, and then just had to, you know, had to make other arrangements kind of at the last minute. So yeah, the creator of this planet, the creator of the weather, he can change things in a heartbeat, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, the media is starting to, well, at least not the fake media, but the real media is starting to say that the most dangerous hate group in America is really the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, and the way that they're labeling anyone who stands against their agenda, anyone who stands against
yes.
homosexuality, transgenderism, anyone who stands for morality and Christianity and God's law, you're labeled as a hate group. And finally, there's some of these groups that have been labeled as hate groups that are filing lawsuits against Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yes.
Something else I found interesting was that basically they say that they have assets of approximately $34 million. Well, I saw this week George Clooney donated $1 million to the SBA, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and all these other Hollywood liberals. But they also have an endowment fund of $320 million. So it's not a small organization. Dad obviously battled with them many times, and he exposed the what that Morris Dees, I don't even know if he's part of it anymore, but what he was is a stinking pedophile is what he was. So
yeah, we still get calls. We got one last week after the Charlottesville, and then of course, you know, the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, gets back in the headlines, and you know, the media is doing interviews with them, as you know, as they claim to be the expert on these hate groups. And so, you know, we get a phone call. Oh, well, I'm so and so with you know, WXYZ, and did you know that your church is listed with the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group? And I'm doing a story on that, and we'd like to come down and talk to you and get your opinion on that. And about that time, I go click, because
yeah.
We don't cast our pearls before swine. But we've been listed on their list since it was a small list, because of the very things that you said, John. We We this ministry, our pastor, and we continue to stand where the Bible stands. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter who's doing it, whether it's the president or you. Sin is sin. And just because it's become more acceptable, that changes nothing. And so if you're called a hater because you put out and you teach the love of Christ, well, so be it. And that's how it is. And you're right. There are more and more, huge million member organizations, the American Family Council, and several just conservative Christian groups that, you know, just preach the Bible. But because they do, and because they're not bowing down to this homosexual agenda, and they're not bowing down to this LGBTDF whatever, that they too have been labeled. They've been lumped in the same group that this ministry's been in for a long time. And then all of a sudden, we can't have that. That's wrong. And so I think it's that, you know, these things that were done in the darkness, these things that this Antichrist organization has done with all their money, and they can have it all. They can double their coffers. It's going to rust and the moths are going to eat it around them. So says the word. But see, people are seeing that SPLC, some, for what it truly is. That they list Christians as terrorists, and they list Christian groups as hate groups. I think it's that winnowing, it's that separating of the chaff and the wheat that you started the program off with, that example. The lukewarm time is really over. Are you going to be ashamed of Jesus Christ? Are you going to be ashamed of what his word says? Are you going to be ashamed of the judgment that he has in his word? Or are you going to stand on that word? Are you going to stand on that and not be ashamed of Christ and the lifestyle that comes with being a Christian, folks?
Amen. I don't know if you saw, looks like North Korea fired three more missiles. Apparently, one blew up not too long after it was launched, and a couple of them were duds. Went about 150 miles or something, ended up in the Sea of Japan. But just the fact that continues is, somewhat, it's concerning, to put it that way. It's not alarming, because we're not to be alarmed, but...
Right.
I mean...
Well, we read several times of the wars and rumors of wars, right? And yep. We're not I like how you put it. We're to be concerned. We can be aware of it. If nothing else, it should drive us back to prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. No better place to be found than on your knees right now, for sure. What do you see going on, Jason?
Well, I saw some good news. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster issued an executive order this week, and the executive order was signed on Friday, and it eliminates all state and local funding to health centers and providers affiliated with abortion clinics.
Yes.
And as you look down this and read the executive order, it's actually a really well-written executive order. Let's see if I got it here. It states that the agency to cease providing state and or local funds, whether grants, contracts, state-administered federal funds, or any other form, to any physician or professional medical practice affiliated with an abortion clinic and operating currently within, and in the same physical geographical location or front footprint as an abortion clinic. And basically, this one is actually went a step beyond, because it stopped everything from any of the grants, which there before, when they had stopped the funding, they could still get grants. This stops the grants. It stops any contracts. They're not going to issue any contracts to any doctor, any physician, anything that's actually in the same location, building, or anything of an abortion clinic. So it's a pretty good one. They got it written really well, and signed it in on Friday. So, you know, as you see things like that happening, it's just sometimes you wonder. It's like, okay, you know, we're seeing these storms in Texas. You know, I mean, something like this, and a governor making this and signing this executive order could very possibly, save the wrath of God from coming and hitting South Carolina.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And
to me, it's encouraging. So you see things like that happening. You know, sometimes we talk about the bad news, and we talk about these things that we're seeing, and we're talking about this. I mean, yeah, there's things that we need to be aware of. But at the same time, when you see things like this, I want to encourage people to pray for these people, lift them up, you know. And, you know, as we see people like this and governors like this and lift them up and pray for them and ask God to protect them and ask God to bless them. I think that as times are changing, you know, we lift these ones up, we keep them prayed up, you know, that there's going to be other governors that are going to be, you know, looking around and saying, oh, you know what, it might have that just take hold and be contagious, you know, and people might look and say, okay, hey, you know, he got away with it. He stood up for what is right. God protected him. Maybe I can do the same thing.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge strides. You know, when we see California, I mean, California, on the other hand, they're sending the children home, grade schoolers home with transgendered, curriculum. This week they had, it was in the news, you know, a little girl goes home and she's crying after she comes home from school, crying to her mommy because she thinks that she might turn into a boy. Because she didn't understand the way the curriculum was, and that's what basically they were telling her. Well, she could be a boy, you know, and she was a girly girl and was happy being a girl. And, you know, you see things like that happening, and, you know, but at the same time, you see the people that are up in arms in California about it, you know, raised in hell as they should be. Yeah. And, you know, you see things like that going on. But we see things like this, and it's like, you know, it's so obvious. We talk about wars and rumors of wars. Hey, it is right in front of our faces. It is here every single day.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
You know, the other thing we need to be doing is binding these federal judges, too, and, you know, calling once again for righteous judges, because we've seen this in the past. There'll be even look at our own president. He passed executive orders, which were moral, which were to protect the people, as far as I'm concerned. And what happens? Some stinking federal judge appointed by the Obama nation overturns it. So I think the other thing is, as California goes, so goes the world. So I think the Holy Spirit's convicted me that we need to be praying more, focus our prayers a little bit more on things that are going on in California. And I know we have some mighty prayer warriors out there that understand spiritual warfare and are doing just that, but I think we need to join in with them in prayer and be in agreement at the things that they're doing to try to thwart the evil that's going on. I know today that there's specifically today is a Patriot prayer rally that they're pretty much deeming as a alt-right assembly, and they've called for all of the San Francisco Police Department to be on duty, and you can bet that they're going to be busting in busloads of paid protesters.
Yep.
And so those are the things I think we need to pray for ahead of time when we get the inclination and we get the news about it.
Amen.
Why don't we do that?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we do. We come before you, Lord, and we lift up these prayer warriors, Lord, that are yours, these patriot prayer warriors in San Francisco, a cesspool in this country. And Lord, we ask that you would thwart any evil plans, Father, that you would just protect those that are yours, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over them to protect them. And Lord, we ask that you would just cause them to fall in the pits that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay. And Father, if they are of their father, the devil, if they are those that come only to steal and kill and destroy, then we ask that you would deal with them any way you see fit, Lord. Your word is clear that bring those who will not have you rule over them into the court and slay them. So, Lord, we ask that you would just protect your people, Lord, and that the truth of the gospel would be proclaimed
yes.
all across the world, just as your word says. Send your, you know, Hebrews 1:14 says that you've given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels. Father, send your angels there. Send your protecting and your guardian and your warring angels, Lord, to protect those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And hey, to give you an update along those lines, we had a similar prayer request on Wednesday night. We have a family on the ministry that asked for prayers. They were protesters scheduled to protest their store and their livelihood, and it ties in with the statues that are being brought down. Got a praise report. It says, just wanted to give an update. No protesters. Everything nice and quiet in Branson. Praying it continues to stay that way. Thank you so much for the prayers. I know that's what gave us protection. The police have been driving by, but I know it's the cavalry of angels around us that are giving us true protection. Answered prayer. Thank you to everyone. And so we prayed that Wednesday night, and it's not that we did anything. It's not that we are anything, but we have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he hears the prayers of those that love him and that are obedient to him. So says his word. He is a rewarder of those that do good in praying to God in Jesus' name for others is doing good. And so, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answering those prayers. And he will answer these prayers that you just prayed, John. He will. As we are in these times, Luke 21, and we're just about out of time, a few more minutes this morning, but Luke 21 talks about, just like it does in Matthew, about the wars and rumors of wars. And, you know, Jesus said, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes, and in various places, plagues and famines and terrors and great signs from heaven. And then he goes on and talks about the time of that. Verse 13 says, it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. And so see this threat of protest, you know, that's a faith builder. And then especially when God is delivered through that. And you know, what a testimony that it allows us to give. And so these times that we are in, we are told not to be terrified. We are told not to be afraid, even though the other nations will be. But for us, just like you said earlier, Jason, about the storms, you know, it's a time for us. It will present opportunities for us to give the testimony about Jesus Christ and about the true gospel, about the need for repentance, about what sin is, and the need for repentance and immersion water baptism for the remission of sins, and not just to join the church, or not just because you're 12 years old now, but what true biblical baptism is. And so these days that we're in with the storms and we're seeing earthquakes. We had an earthquake live on the radio just a couple weeks ago on the Hope is Alive program. Pastor Cox was saying, did you guys hear that? I got, you know, we had an earthquake, and it was at the end of the Hope program on a Wednesday night. Pictures falling off the walls. Pretty serious earthquake there in Oklahoma. We're in those times, folks. But it's not to be a time of fear. It's to be a time of prayer, a time of returning to God, of praying. Lord, what is it in my life that I need to change to be more God-honoring, to be more God-obedient? And then when you get that answer, then change. Repent.
Another encouraging story, if we got a few minutes, was, I don't know if you saw this, Jason, but the mayor of Venice declared that if anyone shouts, Allahu Akbar, authorities will send them to Allah, in light of the Barcelona terror attacks. Mayor Luigi Brugnaro made a remark at a conference where he also stated that Venice is more aggressive in approaching and thwarting terrorists. So basically he told his police force, if you hear anybody shout Allah Akbar or whatever, shoot first, ask questions later. Boy, it'd be nice if that rained throughout the country and the world, huh?
Yep.
Yep.
I thought that was encouraging.
That is.
That is.
They haven't attacked them with it yet. I'm surprised they haven't attacked them yet. But as far as I can tell, they haven't attacked them on that yet.
Well, guys, we're there. There went the hour. Thanks for tuning in, Remnant. And we invite you to come with us. You can join us at church tomorrow. We're given the command of not forsake the fellowship. And these live streamings of our church service is one way that you can join in for church, even if you're 1,000 miles away. You can join us at scriptures4america.org and click on the live video streaming, and that'll start at 8:30 Sunday morning, 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, and that's 10:30 on the East Coast. And we'll follow that shortly with a timeless truth, a classic from our pastor. And every time I see these, you see the things that he prophesied about, that he warned about, that he taught about. We see them coming true and having come true in our society and in our lives today. And then, John, I'm looking forward to that message you're talking about bringing. So folks, we
me
encourage
too.
You. Yeah, you too.
Waiting for the Holy Spirit to give
me
the rest of it.
Well, good. Well, so folks, keep John in your prayers that the Holy Spirit does give him that message. So thanks for joining us, folks. And our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Write them out, write them more, write them out, write them out, write them more.
moving, keep on moving over Snake Hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting.